Joseph, Questions and Answers from the 9th of December 1964, an excerpt from the lecture of the 26th of February 1972. Questions and Explanations. Dear Joseph, on Saturday you spoke about the conscience, see the lecture of the 5th of December 1964 above. In that lecture you explained to us that the soul expresses these delicate feelings that act upon the human being. Does the kind of education a person had or the social context that shaped them also play a role in this? Joseph. Yes, that too. What goes on in the environment, in particular the child's education, is so important because the child absorbs these lessons, or is supposed to absorb them. It depends entirely on how much care is taken in raising the child, whether the parents are able to influence the child so that their soul becomes more refined. After all, the purpose of education is to guide the child to a better life or to a good life. One's upbringing, one's whole environment naturally has an influence on the soul. For the most part, though not without exception, you can make the following observation: when parents live for their children and have time to raise them peacefully, then they have accomplished something significant. They have contributed to the education of the child's soul. If parents have no time for their children and their education is a matter of indifference to them, if they themselves are not scrupulous when it comes to right and wrong, they will also be unable to exert any influence on the child. In such cases, the child will simply absorb whatever happens to suit them from their immediate environment. But when parents raise their child with care and devotion, this upbringing will provide protection to the child and their soul. Of course, it can also happen that parents go about raising their child with great love and, in spite of this, the child is not obedient. You know from your spiritual insights that this will then be a matter of a spirit who comes from below. To teach such a child something is difficult because this lower spirit is not yet particularly receptive, they are not ready or willing to accept it. An ascending good spirit is, by contrast, ready to show obedience. Since they are willing and obedient, they contribute much to the healing of their own soul, whereas a lower being is unruly and antagonistic. This disobedience, this disharmony lies in their soul. Such a spirit is unable to concede anything, unable to be obedient. It will naturally be difficult for the parents to raise such a child. Dear Joseph, you also spoke about bad conscience and explained how a person can be tormented by their conscience. They feel compelled to confess a bad deed in order to restore order in their inner life and to become free and unburdened. In this respect, we had the thought that confession as practiced in the Catholic Church is, in a certain sense, of benefit. Joseph. Among the early Christians it was the case that one would go to the leader of the congregation and be able to present such matters to him. He himself was mediumistic and had been chosen as the leader of the congregation by the spirit world. This leader would then be able to give the penitent advice, let us say. He could tell them whether God had forgiven the sin and what they would have to do. The penitent thus found relief. The leader could reveal what the penitent had done wrong, what was burdening and weighing them down. And the penitent was able to directly receive the answer as to what they would have to do to alleviate their unease. This was then adopted by the Catholic Church. But it did not adopt it correctly, it made confession obligatory. It naturally did a great deal of wrong by doing so, in that it forced people to do it. The Church declared it to be a sacrament and forced people. It simply established whatever served its own interests and spread its own power. Dear Joseph, in your lecture you also briefly mentioned that there are mentally ill people who are of unsound mind and have no conscience at all. Can you tell us more about that? Joseph. It should also be mentioned that those people who are sent to institutions or clinics for treatment cannot be held responsible if they have done something wrong and it is established that they are indeed insane. That is, mentally ill. The majority of people today do not want to admit that in most cases this insanity is caused by another spirit occupying the person in question. Such a person is no longer in control of his own mind, because the other spirit has taken possession of him and is interfering with his entire human apparatus. Such a possessed person cannot, therefore, be held responsible for his life or for his actions, nor can it be expected that he will find his way in life. So he must be given help. This should actually prompt human beings to realize that there is another spirit, or several other spirits, occupying such a person. The conscience of such a person can thus be overshadowed if he is tormented by one spirit or several spirits. In such a case, he really is not in command of his conscience. His conscience is overshadowed by the others, they have chained the person, his soul, to themselves. The soul is not free, it remains chained to those spirit beings who have been able to enter into the body of such a person. People who are allowed a healthy mind should really be thankful for it. And this should be an answer for humankind. In the case of those who are insane and who claim to be a completely different person, a foreign spirit being truly has taken possession of them. Many people in clinics could be helped if one were to pray with them, especially if the long-term treatments carried out by doctors are unsuccessful. It should not only be medically trained doctors who care for such patients, it should also be that mediumistic people are given access to these patients. They should spend time with them and pray with them, so that they can discern something, only something, of the previous condition of their soul, or identify what kind of beings are holding them captive. It will be a long and difficult road before it reaches this stage and before humankind is prepared to acknowledge that a foreign being is able to take possession of a human. Once it becomes clear that a human being can be inspired, that they receive this inspiration from above, then it should also become clear that they receive not only inspiration to help them solve their problems, but that they can also be inspired and ensnared by beings who cause them harm. If people acknowledge one side of this, they must also be prepared to acknowledge the not-so-good side. If people accept that one can receive good inspirations, they should also be able to accept that it is just as possible for one to be held captive by the lower spirit world, and in such a way that the person is no longer capable of controlling themselves. The 12th of September 1964, in his lecture of the 26th of February 1972, Spirit Teacher Joseph spoke about the conditions required to hear the quiet voice of our conscience. Joseph, the spirit of a human being has much higher insights and understandings than the outer human being. What I mean by that is the following. One's own spirit knows about many things and about the truth, but human consciousness interferes with this insight. Human consciousness lies upon it like a shadow. This consciousness is shaped by the externals that surround and impress the human being, by their own will. One person has a strong will, another a weak will, one person tends toward religiosity, another does not. So many factors play a major and significant role in this. And when I say that the spirit knows more, I can also say that it is the human being's spirit who is sometimes very sad about themselves and their way of life, about the actions performed by the whole human being. People speak about the voice of conscience, about the inner voice. The conscience and the inner voice are nothing other than the sound of the soul, the word that comes from the soul, the admonishing, the consoling, as well as the reproachful word. For in the soul, at least in the soul of an upward striving human being, there really ought to be a higher consciousness. And they ought to live in this higher consciousness. If the human being commits this or that deed, their own spirit will then experience the painful disappointment over it. The human being may also reach better insight, they may recognize their mistakes. Should this happen, then the outer human being is ready to listen to the inner word and to give their soul the freedom of divine consciousness. Human beings in this world continuously breathe from the soul of God. For the earth is a part of the soul of heaven, constantly vitalized by the power source of heaven, which was given to humankind for its ascent and for the cultivation of God consciousness. To cultivate your higher self means becoming one with divinity, going within yourself. It is the greatest wish of the helpful spirit world that you do not orient yourselves solely toward the externals of this world. For this world has no eternal worth. Indeed, it is transient. What use is it to a person to possess a fortune of millions in this world? When they appear in the spiritual world, they may even be a beggar. After all, the only thing that counts is what God has given his creatures in terms of eternal qualities, which fulfill the soul and make the human being happy. This, of course, requires virtues. If someone has virtues, then they will certainly have spiritual qualities within themselves as well, and they will be a desirable human being. It is these spiritual qualities alone that are valued in the other life, in the spiritual world. So much is said about love and justice. Yes, these are divine qualities, and whoever has them in their soul must nurture and carefully guard them. The 26th of February 1972.